I nodded toward the conference room door. Outside in the hall. I turned back to Lewis. Excuse me for just 1 minute, please.
Take your time.
Once we were in the hall, I looked around to make sure no staff were in the vicinity. Planting my hands on my hips, I attempted to keep my voice down. What the hell? We have a full day of meetings. What's so important that you're ditching? Like he'd done last night, Weston wrapped a lock of my hair around his finger and gave it a firm tug.
You can handle it, Fifi. You're a people pleaser. I'm sure you'll have all the staff feeling like the old bat kicking the bucket was a good thing by the time you're done.
I slapped his hand away from my hair. I'm not your secretary. What you miss is your problem. Don't expect me to report back to you. In response, the jerk winked. I freaking hated winkers.
Have a good day, beautiful.
Don't call me that! And just like that, Weston Lockwood walked away. The man made me nuts. Good riddance to the jerk. I definitely didn't need him in the meetings. I definitely was better off without him. In fact, come to think of it, the only place the jerk was useful was in the bedroom. And I wouldn't be making that mistake again. That was for damn sure. I settled back in for my meeting with Lewis. So, as you know, the hotel is now owned by the Sterling and Lockwood families, I said. Each family owns a 49% share, and 2% is owned by a local charity Ms. Copeland supported here in the city. Lewis smiled fondly.
Easy feat.
I nodded.
That's right.
The charity Grace had left a 2% stake to was an interesting one. Run by one man, with an annual budget of less than $50,000. The 2% stake in the Countess was worth probably 100 times that annual budget. No wonder the guy had been so anxious to sell his stake to one of us. Did Ms. Copeland have a personal reason for such a large donation to that charity? Not that it isn't a great organization, but it's pretty specific. Lewis leaned back into his chair and nodded. His eyes were warm as he spoke.
Leo Farley. He works in housekeeping.
The name didn't ring a bell. An employee got her interested in the charity?
About 6 years ago, Leo was homeless. Long story, but he'd had a rough year. Lost his job, wife died, got evicted from his apartment, daughter committed suicide, all within the span of a few months. He sometimes slept in the alley around the corner, right next to the hotel's service entrance. Ms. Copeland went out for 2 walks a day, like clockwork at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., just a few blocks each time. One afternoon, she ran into Otto Potter outside, and he was treating Leo's feet.
Otto Potter is the guy who runs Easy Feet? Lewis nodded.
That's right. He's a retired podiatrist. A lot of homeless people have trouble with their feet. Untreated diabetes, walking around not wearing shoes, infections, all sorts of issues. He started Easy Feet to help the people here in the city who weren't walking on Easy Street. He and a few other volunteers go around and treat guys like Leo, right on the street.
But Leo works here now?
Ms. Copeland took a liking to him. Once his feet got better, Leo started walking with her. Eventually, she offered him a job. He's been Employee of the Month more times than any other employee. Works hard.
Wow, that's a great story. Lewis smiled proudly.
Got plenty of them when it comes to Ms. Copeland. She was a real good person. Very loyal.
Considering what she'd left to the two men who'd once loved her, I'd say that was an understatement. It was good news for me, because loyal employers usually meant loyal employees, and I was hoping for smooth sailing while stuck here overseeing the hotel and protecting my family's interest. Steering our conversation back to the reason for our meeting, I lifted a pen from on top of the notebook I'd brought. So, tell me about the operations at the Countess. Is everything running smoothly? Are there any issues or concerns you'd like to point me to as I become familiar with how things run? Lewis pointed to my pad.
Good thing you brought that notebook.
Uh-oh.
First, there's the looming strike.
Strike?
Ms. Copeland was generous and loyal, but she also kept the reins very tight when it came to managing things. I'm the hotel's manager. I oversee all the day-to-day operations, but she personally handled the business aspect of things. She was sick for a long time, and some of the things that needed handling didn't get handled.
I saw it and wrote down, strike.
Okay, tell me all the details you know about the union issues.
40 minutes later, I had 6 pages of notes on just the first problem.
Anything else?
Please say no. Lewis frowned.
I'd say the next biggest problem is the double-booked weddings.
My brows rose.
Double-booked weddings?
He nodded.
I'm sure you know, the Countess is one of the most in-demand venues for events.
Yeah, sure.
Well, we have 2 ballrooms, the Grand Palace and the Imperial Salon. They book up to 3 years in advance.
Okay.
About 2 years ago, we started to take reservations for the Sundeck. It's an exact replica of the Imperial Salon, but also with a private rooftop Sundeck.
I didn't realize there was a rooftop Sundeck. He shook his head.
There isn't. That's part of the problem. Construction has barely even started up there, or in the new main ballroom space. And the weddings we booked 2 years ago are approaching pretty fast. The clients booked, expecting to have an outdoor cocktail hour or service. We have the first one coming up in only 3 months. As you can imagine, the hotel serves some very influential families. The first event is for the niece of the mayor.
My eyes widened. Shit. Things continued to go downhill from there. While from a visitor's perspective, the Grand Hotel appeared in tip-top shape, it had a laundry list of major issues that had been building over a long period of time. And now those issues were my issues. Over the next 3.5 hours, Lewis unloaded problem after problem. We had so much to discuss that I had to reschedule the other appointments I'd made with senior managers this morning. By the time we finished our meeting, my head was spinning. I stood at the door of the conference room. Thank you so much for filling me in on everything today. He smiled.
I guess it's a good thing there are 2 of you. There's a lot of work to do.
Weston Lockwood was the last thing on my mind, and Lewis saw the confusion on my face.
I was referring to Mr. Lockwood, he said. Meaning it must be nice to have someone in the trenches with you to handle all of this.
I smiled rather than tell him getting the Sterlings and Lockwoods to agree on anything might be the top problem for this hotel.
Yes,
I feigned the best smile I could muster. It's nice to have someone I can count on. To disappear, like he did today.
Let me know however I can help.
Thank you, Lewis. After he left the conference room, I slouched in a chair, trying to organize my thoughts. I'd believed I was coming to New York to babysit a hotel while my family worked on buying out the minority owner. Apparently, I had my work cut out for me. While I sat feeling a bit shell-shocked, my cell started to buzz on the table. I picked it up and sighed audibly. There was only one man I wanted to avoid discussing everything I'd just learned with more than Weston Lockwood. So naturally, he had to call at this very moment. Taking a deep breath, I figured it was best to get the tirade over with. So I swiped to answer. Hi, Dad.
Chapter 4.
How the hell did this happen?
My father started barking before we sat down at our table. He'd hung up on me 5 minutes after he'd called earlier today, the moment I'd mentioned a looming strike. I hadn't even had a chance to tell him about the rest of the issues. A 30 minutes after he'd slammed the phone down in my ear, his secretary emailed to tell me my father would land at 7 and dinner would be at Prime, one of the restaurants in the Countess. She didn't ask if I was available, rather she'd told me where we would be eating. Not to mention, it had also been the first I'd heard that my father was even planning on coming to town tonight. And I definitely had no idea my half-brother Spencer would be accompanying him. Though in hindsight, I should have suspected as much on both counts. Well, I said, Ms. Copeland was sick, and she let some things slide, thinking she would take care of them when she felt better. She obviously never had that opportunity. The waiter came over to take our drink order. My father didn't give the poor man an opportunity to finish asking what we wanted before he rudely cut him off and barked,
Scotch on the rocks. Glenlivet 25 single malt.
because alcohol had to cost more than $500 a bottle for him to find it worthy of consumption. My puppet of a half-brother raised his hand.
Make that two.
No, please. No, thank you. And clearly neither of them had ever heard of ladies first. I attempted to make up for their rudeness when it was my turn to order. May I please have a glass of Merlot? Whatever you have open is fine. I smiled. Thank you very much. If my father noticed my over-the-top abundance of manners, he didn't seem to care.
Spencer can handle the union, he said. He has experience dealing with Local Six.
No. Thank you, but I can handle it on my own.
I wasn't asking, Sophia, my father said sternly.
I'd let a lot of things slide with my father over the years, but this wasn't going to be one of them. Grandfather had given me the job of managing the hotel, and I planned to make him proud on my own. With all due respect, Dad, I don't need Spencer's help, and if I do need some assistance, I'll reach out and ask for it. My father's ears turned red.
You're in over your head.
Grandfather has faith in me. Perhaps you can try having some, too. Spencer joined in.
The guys who run the union are used to working with a man. Things can get pretty heated.
Did the jerk really just tell me the reason I needed help was because I was a woman? Now my ears pinked up. Luckily, the waiter arrived with our drinks, allowing me a few seconds to calm down. As much as I wanted to explode, I wouldn't stoop to yelling or bullying to get my point across. That was my father's way. After the waiter passed out our beverages, I asked him to give us a few minutes, since none of us had looked at the menu yet. I gulped a healthy dose of wine and turned to give Spencer my full attention.
I didn't realize union negotiation depended on the size of my dick.
But don't worry, Spence. They used to stick us in the tub together when we were kids. I can assure you, mine is bigger than yours.
Sophia,
my father interjected,
act like a lady and watch your language.
As if being belittled by my father and half-brother wasn't bad enough, out of the corner of my eye, I saw Weston walk into the restaurant. Our eyes caught, and he did a quick sweep over my dinner companions before heading right for us. I downed the rest of my wine like it was a bottle of water.
Mr. Sterling, how nice to see you.
Weston put his hand on the back of my chair and graced our table with his most dazzling and annoying smile. My father looked him up and down and snarled.
Jesus Christ, does anyone give a shit about this hotel? Here I was concerned that the Lockwood family would send someone to try to take my daughter for a ride. At least that's one thing I don't have to worry about if they sent you.
Weston's lip twitched, and his eyes flitted to me a moment.
Yes, you can sleep well at night knowing I'm not taking your daughter for a ride.
Spencer leaned back in his chair.
I thought you were in Vegas. Moved back to New York 9 months ago. You're slipping at keeping tabs on me, Spence.
I had to hide my smirk. My half-brother loathed being called Spence.
If you're here, Spencer said, then who's in Sin City keeping the strippers and casinos in business, Lockwood?
Weston flashed a smug smile.
You mean like Aurora Gables? I hear she's got someone keeping her busy.
Spencer's smile wilted. Interesting. It sounded like Weston had done some homework and had gossip I needed to catch up on related to my perfect half-brother. My half-brother's jaw remained clenched as he spoke.
What are you doing about the union issue?
Weston glanced at me guiltily.
I met with them today. We're close to reaching an agreement.
My eyes widened. That little shit. He knew all about the union problem, yet he'd left me holed up, listening to the staff while he disappeared to take care of business. I'd underestimated him and assumed he was out screwing around. Meanwhile, he was two steps ahead of me, dealing with things we should have been working on together. Spencer and my father made me angry, but this? I was furious.
You let a Lockwood go take care of business on his own? My father snapped. What the hell is wrong with you? Are you completely incompetent?
Weston raised his hand.
Whoa. Hang on a minute. Take it down a notch, old man. There's no reason to raise your voice. Don't speak to Sophia like that. Don't you tell me how to talk to my daughter.
Weston straightened his spine.
I'm not going to stand here and listen to you raise your voice to any woman.
I don't give a shit if she's your daughter or not. Have a little respect.
My father stood and tossed his napkin to the table.
Mind your own damn business.
Things were spinning out of control, and I didn't like where we were headed. I stood too.
Both of you, knock it off,
I pointed at my father. I won't tolerate you raising your voice and calling me names. I turned to Weston and jabbed my finger into his chest. And you, I don't need you coming to my defense. I can take care of myself. Weston shook his head.
I forgot what a fun bunch you all are. I always knew the old man was a sadist. Didn't know you were a masochist, Fifi. Enjoy your damn meal.
He turned and walked away. My father and I were still standing, and I had no idea why, but I didn't want to be the first to take my seat.
I've been here 36 hours, I said. You need to give me some breathing room. If I need help, I'll reach out. We're all on the same side here, and I consider asking for assistance when needed a sign of a good leader, not a sign of weakness. Now, if you'd like to sit down and discuss the issues, perhaps provide some guidance from your years of experience, I'm happy to have that conversation. If not, I'll be ordering room service upstairs in my room.
My father grumbled something I couldn't make out under his breath, but nevertheless, he picked up his napkin and sat.
Thank you, I said.
During the rest of our dinner, things were less heated, though the more I filled Dad in on the hotel's issues, the tougher it was for him to keep from bulldozing me into having Spencer join me in managing things. My half-brother did his usual nodding and repeating of things my father said, but he had nothing of real value to add. I declined coffee and dessert, hoping not to prolong things any more than we had to, and luckily, they followed suit. We said goodnight in the hotel lobby, and on my way to the elevator, I was very tempted to stop in at the bar and have a shot or two. But I needed to clear my head for my next meeting, the one Weston had no idea we were about to have.
I knew you wouldn't be able to resist a second go-round.
Weston opened the door to his suite and hung on to the top of it. I brushed past him and marched directly into his room. Turning around, I noticed for the first time that he had on nothing but an unbuttoned dress shirt and a pair of black boxer briefs. I motioned to his outfit.
What the hell are you doing?
He looked down.
Getting undressed.
I turned my head.
Well, put some damn clothes on.
Surprisingly, he listened. He walked to where his slacks were draped over a chair and slipped them back on. He zipped up, but left the top button and his belt both open. Turning to face him once he was decent, my eyes landed on a thin line of hair that ran from his unbuttoned pants up to his navel. I tried not to let it distract me, but that damn happy trail, well, it was sexy as hell, which pissed me off even more. Blinking a few times, I forced my eyes up to his face while my hands gripped my hips.
What the hell? You knew about the union issue and went to see them today? What kind of dumb game are you playing?
Weston shrugged.
I didn't see my cell phone ringing after you apparently found out.
I scowled.
I only found out today, while you were already off holding a meeting.
He inched closer.
Your father is a real asshole.
That was obvious. Everyone knew that, especially me. And I could spout off about him all I wanted, but no one else could, especially a Lockwood.
Don't talk about my father.
Weston's eyes widened, and his head pulled back.
Seriously, you're going to defend him after the way he spoke to you?
How he speaks to me is none of your damn business.
He smirked, but said nothing.
What the hell are you smiling at?
I growled. Weston tapped his finger to his front tooth.
You got a little piece of something stuck right here. Spinach or parsley, maybe. Did you have the oysters, Rockefeller? They're really good, aren't they?
What? No, I didn't have oysters.
I reached up and rubbed at my tooth.
It reminds me of when you were a kid. Remember that big gap you used to have between your front teeth? It would have taken something pretty big to get stuck in that thing. Why did you get rid of that anyway? I liked it.
I did have terrible teeth when we were kids. I'd spent countless hours in the orthodontist's chair over my 5 years of braces, though I was surprised he would even remember that. Weston caught me off guard when he leaned forward and scraped at my tooth, removing whatever had been stuck for me.
Got it,
he said, holding up his finger. I have no idea why, but the simple gesture seemed so intimate, and it made me sort of warm. Thus, I countered that with as much frost as I could muster. Smacking his hand away, I grumbled, "Keep your hands to yourself." Weston took a step forward.
"You sure about that?"
He reached out and rested his hand on my hip.
"You look like you could use blowing off some steam again."
I hated that my body immediately reacted to his touch. It pissed me off more than what he'd done or how he'd interfered with my father.
"Screw you."
He moved closer, and his fingers dug deeper into my hip.
"We're finally on the same page."
"Why didn't you tell me you knew about the union issue?" He leaned closer and inhaled deeply.
"What perfume are you wearing?"
"Answer me, you asshole. Why didn't you mention the strike?"
"I'll tell you, but you're not going to like the truth."
"I don't like most things that come out of your mouth, but that's never stopped you from talking."
"The president of the union doesn't work well with women. If I'd told you there were issues, you would have insisted on coming, and the guy is a real piece of shit. He wouldn't have listened to a thing you said, and then the minute you weren't within earshot, he would have talked about your tits to me, which would have pissed me the fuck off and made me punch him. It was best to avoid all that bullshit and just get it done."
"The way to deal with a sexist asshole isn't to give in to him. It's to address it head on, in a professional manner." He seemed to consider what I'd said, then nodded.
"Okay. My instinct was to protect you from the asshole, not subject you to his crap. But I get it."
The tension in my face softened. "Don't let it happen again." The corner of his lip twitched.
"Yes, ma'am."
He stared down at where his hand still sat on my hip, and my attention followed. Ever so slowly, his hand began to inch up. Shit. An ache flourished inside me. I should have slapped his hand away and marched back out the door, but instead I stood there, watching as he caressed over my hip, traced along the dip of my waist, and smoothed up to my rib cage. When he reached the swell of my side boob, he looked up into my eyes. I got the feeling he was giving me time to stop him, and I really, really wanted to. At least my head did. My body, well, not so much. It had only been 24 hours since he'd touched me, and yet I felt so needy and desperate. The rise and fall of my chest sped up as I watched his hand lift from my side, graze over my silk shirt, and cup my breast and squeeze. "God, I really despise you," I hissed as my eyes closed.
"Yeah, your nipples piercing through your shirt look like they hate me too."
Weston dipped his hand inside the opening at the top of my blouse. He pushed down the lace of my bra and plucked one of my taut peaks. I hated that I let out a little mewl.
"You like it a little on the rough side, don't you?"
I kept my eyes shut. "Don't ruin the moment by talking." The hand inside my shirt moved to my other breast, while his other hand gathered both of mine. Circling my wrists tightly, he leaned to my ear.
"Maybe we should have a safe word."
Oh, God. What the hell is wrong with me? Why does the idea of needing a safe word turn me on so much? When I didn't respond, Weston nipped at my ear.
"Pick a word, beautiful."
I opened my eyes. "Asshole." His soft laugh vibrated against my skin.
"I think you need a word that isn't already your pet name for me. One you don't say at least 10 times a day when I'm around you."
"I don't need one. I'm not into kinky stuff." Weston pulled his head back.
"You despise me, and I'm about to tie your hands together behind your back so you can hate-fuck your day out of your system. Call it whatever you want, but you need a safe word, sweetheart."
He took his hand out of my blouse and reached for his pants, grabbing his belt buckle. With one firm tug, Weston yanked the leather through all the loops. The whoosh sound was one of the most erotic things I'd ever heard. He released my wrists and lifted the belt to show it to me.
"Turn around. Clasp your hands together behind your back."
God, his voice was so raspy and thick. If sex had a sound, it would absolutely be this. Yet I hesitated to turn. It felt like a moment of truth. Was I really going to let a man I'd loathed for my entire life restrain my hands and do whatever the hell he wanted with me? Seeing the turbulence in my eyes, Weston cupped my cheek.
I won't do anything you don't want me to.
So if I don't want you to tie my hands?
Then I don't tie your hands. He looked back and forth between my eyes. But you want me to, don't you? Stop thinking about what seems right or wrong, and go with what you want, Soph.
It wasn't lost on me that he'd finally called me by my actual name. Taking a deep breath, I made the insane choice to throw caution to the wind. I held up a finger in warning. Don't leave marks. A wicked grin spread across Weston's face. Without another word, he guided me to turn around. Pulling my hands behind my back, he wrapped his belt around my wrists and cinched it snugly.
Tug a bit, he said.
I did my best to pull my wrists free, but they didn't budge. Weston walked me forward to a desk in front of the window. I'd assumed things would go the same way as the last time we were together, meaning I'd be bent over and he'd take me from behind. But again, I'd assumed incorrectly what Weston Lockwood was up to. He turned me around, gripped my waist with two hands, and lifted me onto the desk.
Spread.
We have rules, I panted. Only from behind. Weston gripped my knees.
That applies to when I fuck you, but I'm not ready for that yet.
I swallowed. He edged open my legs. I didn't even try to fight him.
Last chance. Safe word, Sophia.
Countess, I whispered. He smiled.
Good choice.
He took a step back. With my legs spread and my hands bound behind my back, I felt incredibly vulnerable. Trying to feel more in control, I huffed, "Just get moving. Let's get it over with." Weston bit his bottom lip, and I swear I felt it between my legs. There was something so damn sexy about the way he looked at me.
You're going to look in my eyes while I finger you.
My jaw dropped open. This guy had some nerve. Amused at my expression, Weston closed the distance between us again. One of his hands pushed between my open legs, and he not so gently shoved my panties to the side. Two fingers rubbed up and down my center, and then one plunged inside, just like he'd done last night. Yet somehow, I still hadn't been expecting it. I gasped.
So wet for me already.
He pumped his finger in and out, and my eyes fell closed.
Tisk, tisk, tisk. Have you forgotten what I told you so soon? Eyes open, my little Fifi.
I started to say something, to tell him once again to stop calling me that. But then his finger glided in and out a few more times, and whatever thought I'd had disappeared faster than my inhibitions.
Spread your legs wider so I can give you more. I love that you're so tight.
My head wanted to slam my legs closed, but my body craved the more he wanted to give me. Shamelessly, I opened my legs. Weston smiled. He held my gaze as he slipped his finger out and pushed into me with two. I tensed for a minute, then relaxed as he continued to move in and out with methodical precision.
One more.
I'd been so lost in the moment, I wasn't sure what he was referring to until I felt a third finger enter me. I moaned, and my eyes shut again. Weston waited a few seconds, and then whispered in my ear,
"You're so beautiful when you're turned on. Such a shame you only want me to take you from behind. I bet the sight of you coming with my cock instead of my hand is absolutely phenomenal."
My breathing grew labored. His warm breath in my ear, along with the constant stroking inside of me, had me so close already. Weston crooked his fingers and changed the angle of his pumps, and I knew it wouldn't be long before my orgasm. He reached behind me and threaded his fingers into my hair. Yanking my head back, he sucked on my exposed neck.
"Oh, oh God."
He tugged harder on my hair, to the point that it hurt, but not enough to make him stop, and his thumb stretched to rub my clit.
"Eyes open when you come," he groaned as he pulled back to watch me.
But I was so lost in the moment, I barely heard him. He repeated his words again, this time with a stern tone.
"Eyes fucking open, Sophia."
My eyes flew open. On instinct, I went to grab for him, forgetting that my hands were bound behind me. The leather around my wrists had no play, and the more I pulled, the more it dug into my skin. Surprisingly, the feeling of being restrained didn't scare me. It actually seemed to turn me on.
so I struggled a few more times in a vain attempt to get free, until I felt my body begin to climb over the edge. Oh, God. With a guttural sound that was a cross between a moan and a yell, my orgasm ripped through me. Our eyes met, and the fire in Weston's eyes while he watched me orgasm kept me riveted in place. When the last of the ripples ended, I leaned forward and rested my head on his shoulder, allowing my eyes to shut. It didn't take long for me to feel vulnerable again. I kept my eyes closed. "Take it off," I whispered.
"You sure?"
I nodded. Weston reached around and unfastened the buckle, freeing my hands. I rubbed one of my wrists. He looked down. They were red from friction burn, though it really didn't hurt.
"You want me to get you some ice?"
I shook my head. "I'm fine."
"Some cream or something?"
Him using that soft tone freaked me out almost as much as what I'd just let happen. I pressed my hand against his chest and nudged him to take a step back. Righting my skirt, I snapped, "Don't be nice to me." Weston's eyebrows jumped.
"You want me to be a dick?"
He thumbed behind him.
"I'm sure there's some salt around here somewhere I could pour on. That will make it sting. Would that work for you?"
I narrowed my eyes and hopped off the desk.
"You know what works for me? You not meeting with the union when I'm not present. We own equal amounts of this hotel, and you need my approval to ratify any agreements you make with them anyway." "Really? 2 minutes ago you were moaning, and now we're back to the union? Maybe we can put that on hold until after."
I brushed the wrinkles from my skirt. I hadn't planned on rushing out the door. Then again, I hadn't planned on what had just transpired either. But it hit me that I had the upper hand now, a way to make Weston feel as screwed over as he'd made me feel earlier. A slow, evil smile spread across my face, and I arched a brow.
"After?"
He looked down at the substantial bulge in his pants and back up to me.
"We're not done here."
"Is that so?" I walked toward the door. Opening it, I looked back over my shoulder. "I hope you feel every bit as screwed over as I did today. Sweet dreams, Weston."
Chapter 5. Weston. "So what's going on with you? I'm glad you didn't cancel our session again this week." Dr. Halpern crossed her legs and set her notepad on the table next to her. It might have been the first time I didn't have to hide my ogling of her shapely calves. And that wasn't because she'd decided to wear pants for a change. She had the same long stems on display as she normally did. I lay down on the proverbial patient couch like I always did, even though she'd told me it wasn't necessary, and most patients sat up. Apparently, the shrink sitting in a chair across from the nut job, while he spilled his guts, was more for the movies than real life. Though, if I had to come here, I figured I might as well get some rest out of it. "Did I ever tell you about the time I had the croup?" I asked her. "I was probably 4, and Caroline was 6 or so." "I don't think you've mentioned it, no." "My mother had given me the last of the ice cream, and my sister wasn't happy about it. Mom had set up a vaporizer in my room, so while I was enjoying my ice cream, Caroline went and peed in the vaporizer. When my mother went to put me back in bed, my room was a cloud of urine mist." Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Dr. Halpern pick up her notepad and jot something down. "You're taking notes about this? Is that because you're thinking of trying the gag on someone? Or have you just found the root of all my problems?" Dr. Halpern set down her pad and pen. "I wrote down that you voluntarily spoke about your sister. Is there a reason you were thinking of Caroline today?" I usually gave no real thought to anything the good doc asked, but today I did, for some reason. "Not that I'm aware of." "Tell me about the last 48 hours. Even if parts of your day were mundane, I'd like to hear about them." I shook my head. "You sure about that?" Dr. Halpern folded her hands on her lap. "I am." "Okay. Well, for the next 20 minutes or so, I walked her through my last 2 days, though I skipped over the encounters in private with Sophia, figuring those details weren't relevant to anything she needed to dissect. yet she seemed to zone in on that part of my story anyway. So you and Sophia have some sort of history together. Our families do. When was the last time you saw Sophia before a few days ago? I smiled. Prom night. She was your prom date. I shook my head. No. But you saw her at prom? I thought back to 12 years ago. I could still see Sophia in her dress. It was red and clung to every curve. While most of the girls had looked nice, they'd also looked like they were going to prom. But not Soph. She'd looked elegant and stood out in a way that made me unable to take my eyes off her all night, even with my date telling me all the things she couldn't wait to do with me after the prom was over. Yeah, she didn't have such a great night. Why is that? Her boyfriend was sleeping with her cousin. She found out when she overheard them having sex in the ladies' room stall. Oh my, that must have put a damper on her evening. Yeah, especially when I punched the dick in the nose. Remembering the face Dr. Halpern usually made when I cursed, I added, sorry, when I punched the loser in the face. Dr. Halpern smiled. Thank you. So you and Sophia were good friends then? I smiled. No, we hated each other. But you defended her honor. I shrugged. It was more that I didn't like her boyfriend. Why is that? I started to answer and then stopped. Why the hell were we talking about 12 years ago and whether or not I'd liked this guy? Turning to look at Dr. Halpern, I said, is there a point to all these questions? I think we've gone off track. What do you see is on track for today? Is there something specific you feel like talking about? I dragged a hand through my hair. No offense, but if it were my choice, I wouldn't be here talking to you at all. So, no, there's nothing specific I want to discuss today. She was quiet for a long time. Let's continue. Were Sophia and Caroline friends? Caroline didn't have a lot of friends. She was out of school so much and couldn't do most of the things normal kids did. Okay, so let's go back to Sophia and prom for a moment. For whatever reason, you felt the need to intervene in her relationship and got into an altercation with her boyfriend. Was Sophia upset about that? I shrugged. As far as I know, she wasn't even aware it happened. She ran out right after she caught them messing around in the bathroom. And that was the last time you saw her? I smiled. No, I was in a shit mood. All of my friends were getting drunk and acting like idiots, and I couldn't drink, so I left prom early. I ran into Sophia in the parking lot. Why couldn't you drink like your friends? I had a procedure scheduled for the next morning. Caroline was sick again. Dr. Halpern frowned. Okay, so you ran into Sophia in the parking lot, and how was that? I smiled. We argued, as usual. She thought I was there to gloat about what a jerk her boyfriend was. He didn't even chase after her. We'd both taken a limo to prom and gotten dropped off. I called my driver and had him come pick us up. Okay. I wasn't about to share that while Sophia was in the middle of bawling me out, I'd pressed my lips to hers, and the two of us wound up taking out our frustrations in a much more productive manner that night. We hung out for a while. I fell asleep at her house around the time the sun came up, and I woke up a half hour after I was supposed to be at the hospital. I got a cab and showed up in my wrinkled tux from the night before. I shook my head. My mother made them do a blood alcohol test on me because she thought I'd put having fun over Caroline. She didn't believe me when I told her I didn't have a drop to drink. Dr. Halpern picked up her pad and wrote for a full minute that time. Perhaps seeing Sophia reminded you of that time in your life, a time when you were helping your sister. I guess that made sense. Though my sister had been the furthest thing from my mind last night, that was for damn sure. I shrugged. Maybe. We moved on from our trip down memory lane. When Dr. Halpern asked me how things were going at the Countess, I almost told her how I'd royally fucked up by sleeping with the enemy. But then I figured she might try to keep me here all afternoon to dissect the real reasons I'd done what I did. Because no shrink accepts that sometimes you just can't handle how the cream buttons on a royal blue silk blouse make you insane. Or how the color of those buttons exactly matches the skin on her neck, and since you can't bite that neck like you really want to, you have to settle for listening to the little cream pearls ping against the tile floor. Yeah, Dr. Halpern would definitely not understand that. Let's face it, if she did, she'd be out of business. But in order for her to maintain this fancy midtown real estate, she needs to psychoanalyze the shit out of everything we do. Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes we just act on instinct like an animal. And Sophia Dam Sterling has the uncanny ability to bring out the savage in me.
Chapter 6.
You can have 6 rooms if you want. Should I book it under your name? Will they be flying in with you or checking in on their own? Scarlett had sent me an email asking to book a 2nd room for her upcoming trip, so I'd picked up the phone to respond since I was wide awake anyway.
I'm not sure yet, but if you could book the room under Thomason, that would be brilliant.
No problem.
Isn't it the middle of the night there? It's just 7 in the morning here, so it's, what, 2 in New York?
I sighed. Yeah, I couldn't fall asleep, so I figured I'd catch up on my emails.
Jet lag?
Not really.
Don't tell me you're losing sleep over that sloth, Liam.
No, that's not it.
So what's keeping you from getting the proper amount of beauty rest, then?
I hadn't called my friend to unload my troubles. Well, maybe that wasn't so true, and unconsciously I'd hoped we'd get to chat. It had been 4 hours since I scurried out of Weston's room, yet my head was still spinning from what had happened.
I have a little problem. You cannot wear black pants with brown shoes, even if I'm no longer there to save you from yourself.
I laughed. I wish it were that easy.
Hang on a second.
Scarlett covered the phone, but I heard her muzzled conversation.
What is this? She said curtly.
A man's voice answered. He sounded nervous. It's your coffee. From the new Cinnabon place you asked me to fetch it from.
But what's inside? It weighs 0.5 stone.
Your cinnamon bun is inside.
What?
You ordered a coffee with a cinnamon bun on top.
I ordered a coffee with cinnamon on top. Who in their right mind thinks someone would want a cinnamon bun inside of a coffee?
Sorry. I'll go back.
Yes, do that.
Scarlett came back on the phone.
Did you say you have a problem? Whatever it is, it can't be worse than the new assistant the temp agency sent over.
I overheard. Sometimes I think you're too hard on people, but I promise you that's not the case today. She sighed.
So what kind of trouble have you gotten yourself into, love?
Well, you remember the family I told you about? The one that owns the competing hotel chains and now jointly owns the Countess with my family?
Sure. The Locks or something like that?
Right, the Lockwoods. Well, I don't think I ever mentioned that I'd accidentally slept with one of them. Weston. He and I are the same age.
You accidentally slept with someone? Did you fall on his cock and it impaled you?
I laughed. No, I guess accidentally might not be the right word. It was more like I had a temporary lapse in sanity and slept with him. Anyway, it was a long time ago. The night of my high school prom, actually. I went with another guy and came home with Weston.
You dirty dog! I didn't think you had it in you.
I smiled. It's a long story. But I was acting out. My mother had died earlier in the year. I found out during the prom that my boyfriend was sleeping with someone. Ironically, it was one of my cousins. That seems to be a thing with me. My father didn't show up for the gratuitous pre-prom pictures because it was also my half-brother Spencer's junior prom, and his was infinitely more important than my senior one. Anyway, I wound up leaving prom with Weston. He ditched his date, and it was a one-time thing. We hated each other, but the sex... Let's just say we were only 18, but it was mind-blowing.
Ah, hate sex. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, well, that's apparently my problem. It's one of mine, too.
I'm not following.
Weston, the guy from my prom, he's at the Countess. His family sent him, just like my family sent me. We're both here to manage things and figure out a valuation of the hotel so one of us can try to buy out the minority shareholder and take control of the property.
And you're attracted to him, but you still don't get along.
Yes. I turned onto my side and sighed. But I also accidentally slept with him again. Scarlett screeched so loud I had to pull the phone from my ear.
That's fabulous!
No, it's definitely not.
Why not?
God, for so many reasons. Number one, I don't like him at all. He's arrogant and cocky and grates on my nerves by calling me this stupid name that he's called me since we were kids. And second, he's the enemy. Our families hate each other, and both of us are trying to outbid the other just so we can get controlling interest and push the other family out.
But yet you accidentally fell on his cock again.
I smiled.
Yeah.
It sounds illicit.
Maybe this is what you need after the doldrums of Liam Albertson the last year and a half.
What I need is to keep away from Weston. I don't know what happens to me, but every time we have a fight, we end up clawing at each other.
That sounds positively divine.
She wasn't entirely wrong. In the heat of the moment, it was positively divine. But the short, cheap thrill didn't last when the clouds of lust started to clear. And then I felt worse than ever. Plus, I was here to do a job, not fraternize with the enemy.
Do they still sell chastity belts? I think I might need one.
I think what you need is what you just got, to get laid by someone more exciting than Liam.
Have you ever been attracted to someone you know is no good for you?
Do you not remember me telling you I slept with my 40-year-old psych professor my first year of college? He was divorced 3 times already, and his last wife had been a former student. It was the dumbest thing I ever did. But man, it was the best sex I ever had. The guy was like catnip. Every day I'd walk into class and say I wasn't going to do it again. Then he'd say, "Miss Everson, could I see you after class a moment?" He'd say it in this tone like he'd caught me cheating, and he was going to scold me. And that was it. My ass went home with black dry erase marker all over it because he liked to pin me to the whiteboard.
How did you eventually end it?
The semester ended, and I didn't sign up for Psych 2 on purpose. As long as I didn't see him, I was fine.
I sighed. Well, that's not going to work in my situation. We're both stuck here for the next month or so, at least.
Well, fighting is what gets you hot and bothered about this guy, right?
I felt disappointed in myself, but that was the truth.
Yeah, it's like I want to take my anger out on him physically.
Okay, then. Just stop fighting with him.
I started to say that wouldn't work, but, huh, it was a simple suggestion. Could it be that easy?
I'm not sure the two of us can get along. We've never done anything but argue.
Well, sounds like it's either make nice or you'll have another accident.
I guess it couldn't hurt to try.
Maybe I'll do that.
Good, then it's settled. You're going to get some shut-eye for the next few hours, and I'm going to make the new temp cry by the end of the day.
I laughed. That sounds about right.
Off to sleep you go. Call me the next time you fall off the wagon and shag this Weston guy again.
Hopefully, that won't be happening. I'll see you end of next week.
Bye, love.
Swiping my phone off, I plugged it into the charger on the nightstand before pulling up the covers. Scarlett was right. It was simple, really. All I needed to do was be nice to Weston. That couldn't be too hard. Or could it?
Chapter 7.
Good morning, Weston. I flashed my most dazzling smile. Apparently, dazzle wasn't something Weston was used to seeing on me. His brows pulled down, and he studied me with suspicion.
Good morning.
He was seated behind the desk in what had been Ms. Copeland's office. I'm sure he expected a fight over who got to use the big corner office with the view of the park. But instead, I walked directly over to the round meeting table and kept my smile firmly in place. So I'd like to fill you in on the other issues the general manager told me about yesterday. Maybe we could split up the list I've made and each be the point person for different things?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Weston was definitely waiting for the other shoe to drop, though I didn't have one. I'd given a lot of thought to the conversation Scarlett and I had early this morning and determined maybe she was on to something. Until the last few days, I'd considered myself pretty vanilla, but apparently some deep, dark part of me got off on arguing with this man. If Weston and I got along, I might have a better chance of not ending up with my panties around my ankles. Weston got up from the desk and walked over to where I sat. This morning, I'd typed up a long list of the issues Lewis and I had discussed. I slid 3 stapled pages over to the opposite side of the table and looked up at Weston. This is a list of things we should discuss. I prioritized them, but we should go over them all. I'm going to run downstairs and get some more coffee. Maybe you could read through what I've typed, and we can discuss it when I get back? I stood from my chair. The look on Weston's face was pretty comical. He was waiting for me to be difficult. Not going to happen today, buddy. I headed toward the door and then stopped and turned back. Would you like me to pick you up some coffee? Maybe some fruit or a muffin, too?
Yeah, that would be great. I'll take a large black coffee and a blueberry muffin.
No problem. This time I even managed to show my teeth with my over-the-top smile. Being sweet was almost like a new form of torture for Weston. Who knew? Maybe this wouldn't be so bad after all. As I turned to walk out, he stopped me.
Wait, you're not going to poison my coffee or something, are you?
I laughed. I'll be back in a few minutes. My fake cheery demeanor had seemed to sink in. On my way down to the coffee shop, I caught myself whistling. Not only did I enjoy making Weston feel off kilter, my neck really appreciated the lack of tension. I'd had a giant knot in it since I boarded the plane a few days ago. When I returned to the office, Weston was still at the round meeting table. He'd written some notes on the list I'd given him and now had a yellow legal pad with even more scribbled notes, and he was scrolling through his phone. I handed him his coffee and the bag with his blueberry muffin, along with a chipper smile. I had them warm the muffin for you. Hope that's okay. There are some butter pats in the bag if you want them. His forehead wrinkled in confusion.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
I took the seat across from him and peeled back the plastic tab on my coffee before picking up my pen. Why don't we start with my list? And when we're done, you can tell me how things went with the union yesterday and what I can do to help there.
Okay.
For the next hour, I ran Weston through the issues I'd discussed with Lewis. After I finished, he slumped back in his chair.
We have our work cut out for us.
Yes, but I think we'll make a good team, and we'll be able to whip this place into shape in no time.
You do?
Absolutely. If anyone knows hotels, it's us. We both grew up in them, years before we even started working for our families. It's in our blood. I've already reached out to 2 contractors we've used at Sterling Properties before, and I set up a meeting with one of them at 2 o'clock this afternoon to discuss the construction that needs to be finished in the ballroom.
Why your contractors? I was in one of your buildings for a meeting last month, and the place wasn't looking too hot.
My immediate gut reaction was to get defensive, but I tamped that down and managed to ignore the insult, focusing instead on working together. Well, I'll tell you what. We obviously need to get a few quotes. So why don't you call in 1 or 2 of your people? We can see what they all come up with and how fast each one thinks they can get it done. Again, Weston hesitated.
Yeah, okay.
We discussed a few other priority issues, including how to handle an employee Lewis thought was dipping into the petty cash and filling 5 key vacant positions, 2 of which were assistant manager jobs. I also had a team of CPAs and lawyers coming this afternoon to start due diligence on the Countess so my family could formulate its offer to purchase the minority share. Without too much disagreement, Weston and I even decided which conference rooms we wanted to set up our teams in. We then threw around some counteroffer proposals to the union's offer we discussed earlier. All in all, it was a damn productive morning. Okay, well, I shuffled the papers I'd spread out in front of me into a pile and neatened them into a stack. This was a good meeting. I'm going to go talk to Lewis about setting me up in an office somewhere, and I guess I'll see you upstairs when the first contractor arrives.
You don't want this office?
He asked. I stood. You look like you've already settled in. I can find another one. No big deal. We were about 2 minutes away from Weston feeling my forehead. Suspecting I'd made his head spin enough for the morning, my job here was done. See you at 2?
Yeah. I might be a little late, but I'll meet you up there.
Now it was my turn to be suspect. Do you have something else planned? Weston got up and walked back to his desk, avoiding eye contact.
I have a meeting, but I'll be back after.
A meeting? What kind of a meeting?
The kind that's none of your business. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Unable to hide how annoyed his response made me, I left the office. I'd just laid all my cards on the table, and that little shit probably had something up his sleeve that he was doing behind my back. This being friendly thing wasn't going to be easy after all. Sam Bolton had been doing construction in New York for my family since I was a kid, though I hadn't known Bolton Contracting was now Bolton and Son. Travis, Sam's son, introduced himself and shook my hand. He was handsome, in more a clean-cut boss type of way than a contractor who swings a hammer look, but definitely nice-looking.
It's nice to meet you, he said. I didn't realize William had a daughter.
Travis meant no harm with his comment, but it hit home. That's because he's still hoping I'll come to my senses and tie on an apron and stay at home, preparing for my husband's arrival from work, like a woman should. Travis smiled.
I hope you don't mind my saying so, but I've worked with Spencer, your brother, and I believe they make aprons to fit his size, too.
I liked Travis already. Half brother, and I'm pretty sure he'd burn anything he tried in the kitchen. If I wasn't mistaken, I thought I caught that look in Travis's eyes. You know the one. A bit of a sparkle that shines when someone is interested in more than just your business. Though he was a perfect gentleman and did nothing inappropriate as I showed him around the construction space. Travis had been early, so a few minutes later, his father arrived. I'd also invited Len, the head of hotel maintenance, to join us, and he led the tour of what had been done and what still needed to be completed.
What happened to the original contractor?
Travis asked.
There were apparently multiple inspection issues that came up,
Len said.
Miss Copeland was unhappy about the frequent delays, so she fired the contractor with the intention of bringing on a new one. At one point, she told me she gave a new contractor a deposit, but nothing was ever started.
Great. Note to self. Add, find out if a contractor was paid to start work and pulled a no-show on my to-do list.
Everything pretty much came to a halt 14 months ago when Miss Copeland's health took a turn. And when do you need all of this done?
Sam Bolton asked.
3 months,
I said. Travis's eyebrows jumped while his father blew out a deep breath and shook his head.
We'd have to have crews here around the clock. That means paying night differential, 2 foremen working overtime in 12-hour shifts, and all sorts of extra benefits the union would require.
But is it possible to get it done? I asked. We have events lined up starting in 3 months and really don't want to have to cancel them. Sam looked around, scratching his chin.
It's possible. Not going to lie, I don't like working like that. I won't cut corners to get things done. Many times I'm at the mercy of subcontractors, so there's always a chance something could go wrong, too.
He nodded.
But yeah, with those extras, I think we could shoot for 3 months. We'd need to get down to the building department right away and see what the issues were with the last inspections, and also take the blueprints with us today. But we can give it a shot.
How fast could you get me an estimate?
A couple of days.
I sighed. Okay, well, let's do that. Weston showed up just as we were finishing, more than a little late. Nevertheless, I kept the peace and even managed to smile as I made the introductions. He and Sam got into a discussion about people they both knew and jobs they were both familiar with. I told Len from maintenance he could go, and that left Travis and me talking.
"Do I hear a bit of a British accent?" he asked.
I didn't think I had one, but he wasn't the first person to ask me that. I'd only lived in London for 6 years. "You're very perceptive," I smiled. "I was born and raised in New York, but spent the last few years living in London. Apparently, I picked up a few things while I was there."
"What brought you to London?"
"Work. We have hotels there, and my father and I get along best when we're on different continents." He smiled.
"What made you come back?"
"This hotel. Plus, the timing was right. I was ready for a change." Travis nodded.
"And not one that entails an apron around your waist, I take it?"
I laughed. "Definitely not." From the corner of my eye, I caught Weston looking over at Travis and me. It was the second or third time in 5 minutes. He was definitely monitoring our discussion. After the Boltons left, Weston shook his head.
"Those two are definitely not right for this job."
"What? What are you talking about? They said they could get us an estimate in a few days and meet our crazy timeline. My family has worked with them many times over the years. They're absolutely reliable. What else could we hope for at this point?"
"I just didn't get the right vibe from them."
"The right vibe? What vibe did you get?"
"I don't know. Just an untrustworthy one, I guess."